Good morning. I brought me a secret weapon today, my glasses. Some days I can see, some days I can't. I can't explain it. I don't know if they're floaters or whatever you get when you get old. But looking right now, I need my glasses. The name of this lesson today is A Day of His Return, Part 2. I'm going to finish up what I started a couple weeks ago because I think it's real important. And it's real encouraging to Christians to hear this. So we'll be looking at Psalms chapter 46, 47, and 48. But before we go there, let's pray. Because my wife says, you forgot to pray. I don't want to forget to pray. It's the most important part. Our dear, precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for saving our wretched souls. We thank you, Lord, for the blessed hope that we have that one day you're coming back for us. I pray that you'll give me the unction today with the Holy Spirit to teach this lesson. I pray that I get through it. I pray that my words will be clear and I won't be stammering and stuttering around. Lord, just be with me. And be with the whole service today, and be with the hearts of men. For I ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus Christ came the first time, he was a suffering servant. But soon, he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I can't wait. And you hear me say that all the time because I can't wait. But Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1, it says, Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax he shall not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. And he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. We're waiting for that day. I don't know about you, but the sooner the better. And like I was telling a brother back here, we don't start living until we go to heaven. That's when you start living. We're dragging around this old flesh. We have trouble with this flesh on a constant basis. I told a brother, I said, I spend most of my time repenting because I get thoughts in my mind and I say, where in the world did those things come from? Lord, forgive me. I don't want to think about stuff like that. But the devil is a constant attack and this flesh is constantly attacking our soul and our spirit. I can't wait to get rid of it. I've been listening to some good things coming out of Israel. We got a young lady that was raised in Israel that's going to school here in UT. Her family was a missionary. And they kicked all the missionaries out of Israel. You're not allowed to proselytize anymore. But the Jews that are born again are on fire for the Lord. And during these troubling times, they're seeing more and more Jews come to know Christ because God is dealing with the Jews. You don't see much going on in churches today, but you do overseas. But we're getting closer. Back when Jesus Christ was being crucified, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 25, the Lord says, or the people say, Let his blood be upon us and our children. They brought a curse down on themselves, a partial blindness. In Luke chapter 23, verse 28 says, But Jesus, turning unto them, said, while he is being crucified, he says, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for you, yourselves, and your children. And for the next 2,000 years, Jews have been chased from one country to the next. They've been in diaspora. Now they're finally going back to the land. And now we're seeing this anti-Semitic rising up all over the world, and Jews are being chased back to Israel for the final days. And that's what's supposed to happen. Romans chapter 11, verse 25, it talks about the fullness of the Gentiles come in. That means it's got Gentile history's got to finish, and God's attention is going to go back to the Jewish people. Now, when you're raised a Jew, they teach you that everything in the Bible that talks about him is referred to the nation of Israel. For instance, when you look at Jesus Christ's life, it says Jesus Christ is called the Son of God. Well, in the Old Testament, the Jews are called the sons of God. And there's 10 things here. They're both called out of Egypt. They both have miraculous births. They're both opposed by the Gentile rulers. They are both despised and rejected. And if you've ever been around Jews, a lot of people despise the Jews. Jews are being attacked all over the world right now. They both experienced the wrath of God. They both were put to death by Romans. And you say, well, how did the Jews get put to death by Romans? The nation of Israel was destroyed and dispersed. They were no longer a nation. Jesus Christ was put to death by the Romans. They were both raised from the dead on the third day. And you say, well, how'd that happen? In Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, and everybody should memorize this verse, after 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up and we will live in his sight. Oh, glorious day. And that day is right here. It's been 2,000 years. The time is coming to an end. Why do you think all this stuff's happening? It's not by coincidence. It's happening because this is the time that the church has been waiting for. Neither one dies again after the resurrection. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he'll never die again. When Israel was brought back as a nation, in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 25, they will be a nation forever. Both were dispersed among the Gentiles. The nation of Israel was dispersed physically and literally among the nations. And every one of those nations one day will be judged and destroyed, including the United States of America. All the nations will be destroyed. There'll be a remnant out of those nations that will be saved. That's where the sheep and the goats come in. Everybody says, well, I think America's going to... No, they're not. America's been terrible to the Jews. They've been deceitful. Both, when Jesus Christ was dispersed among the Gentiles, how did that happen? When you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're dispersing Jesus Christ throughout the world, and people are coming to Christ. The Jews could have avoided this just by searching the scriptures, and they didn't do it. If they would have received Jesus Christ... And a lot of them did. I mean, the blindness is only partial blindness. A lot of people have come to know the Lord as... In the first Jewish church, or first church, was all Jews. Now we're in the second... We're about ready to go into the second advent. We're about to see the Lord Jesus Christ return for his church. And that will be the beginning of the tribulational period. On September 15th, 2020, leaders of the United States, Israel, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates got together and created the Abrahamic Accord. And a lot of people say, oh, that's great, you know, they're going to have peace. No, they're not. It's going to be war. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, he says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice of oblation to cease and the overspreading of abomination, and he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that is determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Some bad things are going to happen real soon after this treaty gets going. It's already started. God talks about this in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15. He talks about this treaty. He says, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, and we are at agreement, and that's what this treaty is all about, death and hell. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come upon us. Big lie. It will come upon them. For we have made lies our refuge, and understand falsehood have we hid ourselves. But God says, I'm not going to allow that covenant to be to go through. I'm not going to honor it. In verse 18 he says, your covenant with death and shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, ye shall be trodden down by it. People say, well, Israel's the safest place in the world. You can go there and not worry about a thing. You haven't read your Bible. Israel's a dangerous place. Psalms chapter 83, people say, well, the next war is going to be the war of Psalms 83. And you read this and you read this and you read this and you think, wait a minute, this ain't a war. This is a conspiracy. Read it sometime. I'll read it, some of it to you. Keep not silent, O God. Keep not thy peace. Be not still, O God. Verse 2. For lo, thine enemies make a turbulent. They hate thee and have lifted up their heads. They have taken crafty counsel. That's what this agreement's all about. It's crafty counsel. Against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. And they have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel will be no more remembered. And you know, that's what this thing will do to Israel. It will cut them off. But God's going to intervene and stop it. God warned the Jews at the very beginning, do not be numbered with the nations. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 9. And it says, don't make any peace agreements with anybody. Put your trust in God, and He will carry you through. In Numbers chapter 31, verse 15, God talks about Balaam, and how Balaam would bring a curse on Israel by allowing other nations come in and start helping them make policy. And you say, well, that'll never happen. Yeah, it is already. The country of Omar has already stepped in and said, we need to start the two-state solution. They're pushing it. And when God sees His land being divided up, that's when God loses it. And God will cause the tribulational period will start. Balaam wanted to intermix the races. And once you dilute a race and you start introducing these other gods, then all of a sudden you lose your nation. That's why God warns the church, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that's so important in our daily lives. It's okay to witness to people, but like a preacher told me one time, he says, you witness, you give them the gospel, and then you run for your life. Because they'll drag you down. They'll bring you down to their level. you won't bring them up to your level. But they're going to divide the land. And then, of course, Joel chapter 2, verse 18, God says, "And I will, then will the Lord be jealous for his land." That's his land. It's his. It belongs to God. And this land, you know, a lot of people think it's that little strip of land, you know. What God gave to Abraham goes all the way, it goes from the Nile River up to the Euphrates River. That's takes up a lot of Lebanon. And then goes down the Euphrates River to Kuwait. And comes down and goes back to the Nile River and around. That's 650 by 650 by 1,000 miles. That's a big place. You got the white race over here. You got the Shemite race over here. And then you got the Hamite race down here. It stands right in the middle. And the reason for that is when the kingdom comes in, all the races will come down to worship the Lord. Israel, they want to divide the land. That land started being divided up. And a lot of people say, well, Churchill's a great English hero. The more I read about Churchill, the more I go, man, what a piece of work. He was a druid. He was a warlock. He wasn't Christian. He did everything to try to destroy Israel. In 1917, they had the Balfour Declaration, and Israel was given, the people of Israel, the Jews were given the land of Israel. That was in 1917. By 1923, Churchill went in and gave most of the land to the Egyptians. It's called Transjordan today. All those people that they're called Palestinians and the people of rightful land, they are all Egyptians. It's all a lie. Everything that we read about is a lie. History, most of it, when you look at it from the standpoint, and this and these articles are go way back. Way back. Before, you know, anyone had to censor and Google gets a hold of it and changes it around and say, well, this never happened when it did. But we're in the last days, and all this stuff is being brought about to divide the land, to bring in a one-world government and a one-world order and the Antichrist. The other day, I don't want to get off on this too much, but they had an article about the UFOs, and I was reading one, and they talked about one report said that these people that fly around in these UFOs are enormous. They're huge. I thought, well, that goes right along with the giants. And that's what a lot of Christians have been saying for years, that when the Antichrist comes, he's not going to come from Europe. He's going to come from down there, and he's going to go up there and land. He's coming up out of the earth like the Bible says he is, or out of the sea and out of the earth. These things are happening all the time. When you're trying to gather this information, it's so overwhelming because it's all coming at you so quickly. We're about to go home. In Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus says, "And when there shall be an abomination," in verse 15 it says, "When therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel." What is this abomination of desolation? When you do some study, and you'll find out it's found in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 13. It's cannibalism. And they're going to, when the temple's built, and the new prime minister of Israel said, in 3 years we can have the temple built. In 3 years, we can have the temple built. You go, well, what's that mean? That means that we're getting 7 years into the 3.5 years into the tribulation, the Antichrist comes and sits in the Holy of Holies, and they start sacrificing. They don't sacrifice sheep and goats. They sacrifice Jews. 1/10 of the Jewish people will be sacrificed and eaten. That's how wicked and sinful this new world order is. If you want to read it, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 13. Everything that ends with 13 is crazy. It says here, "But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and it shall be eaten, as a till tree and an oak tree, whose substance is in them, when they are cast out their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." The holy seed is found in Nehemiah, and that's the Jewish people. So what does the Bible say about this? In Isaiah chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "Send the lamb to the ruler of the land of Selah, Petra, to the wilderness, unto Mount the daughter of Zion, for it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, and the daughters of Moab." Moab is an enemy of Israel, but they're going to be forced by God to take the children of Israel that flee out of Jerusalem to escape the Antichrist, and they'll go into this land called Petra. No one knows who built Petra. This place is enormous. They have cities that are built in the rock. No one knows who did it. The doorways of some of these things are 50 to 100 feet high. They're enormous. No one knows who built them. They found the other day, archaeologists, I got to learn how to pronounce that word. They did an aerial view, and they found a building underground that's enormous. God is preparing the land for these Jews. He's going to feed them for 3.5 years. Those little types in the Bible where God brings the Jews and it's preaching to them, and there's 5,000 men, and you know, it could be 15,000 or more, and he feeds them with a couple of fishes and a couple of loaves of bread, and they have 12 baskets left over. That's the type of what God's going to do to the Jews in the tribulation. He's going to feed them, take care of them, and protect them. And that area is the only area that the Antichrist cannot conquer. Wow. We have a great God. Even the Bible says the earth will help and swallow up the flood that comes in that tries to destroy the Jews. Then, the Lord Jesus Christ will return. Now, this is strange. I had to bring this out. Petra. When you do a study on Petra, it's in Moab. It's just directly east from Jerusalem. And that is the place where Moses died. That is the place where Elijah took a fiery chariot up into heaven. That's the place where God, Jesus Christ, was transfigured in front of Moses and Elijah and Peter, James, and John. That's the place where Job lived. You getting a connection? God's got something about this land, this place called Petra. In Job chapter 1, it says that Job was a man, the land of Uz. You do a Google search on it and find out where Uz is, it's right there. Wow. What a wonderful God. All the scriptures are intertwined. And, man, you know, when Jesus comes back, he comes east and he goes right into the eastern gate. Wow. We're so close. I'm so thrilled about this stuff. But the woman fled to the wilderness. Now let's go to Psalm chapter 46, and we're going to, or I guess we're already there. Yeah. That's what I get for not sticking with my notes. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength and the present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters be roar, be troubled, and though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof. And you say, well, what's that got to do with the tribulation? Well, you do a little word search here. The earth be removed. Revelations chapter 6, verse 14. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and the mountains and the islands were moved out of their places. Verse 2, it says, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Revelations chapter 8, verse 8. And the second angel sounded as were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. God is giving you a little glimpse of the tribulational period. Verse 3, it says, though the waters thereof roar and trouble through the mountain shake and the swelling thereof. Revelation chapter 16, verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings and a great earthquake, such as not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. So here we go. When you read this 46, we're talking about the tribulational period. Verse 4, there is a river and streams thereof, and make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. You see that? That right early. Matthew chapter 24, verse 22. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. God comes early. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. That's why when you read this scripture and it says, no man knows day or hour, only God knows, only the Father. Yes, because he shortens the day. We're not talking about the rapture. The Bible tells us that we are to look for the rapture, to be waiting for the rapture, and to know when that time is near, even at the door. We're not born in darkness that day will overtake us as a thief. And if you don't see the rapture coming, you need to get down on your knees and ask God to give you some understanding and some discernment, because the Lord Jesus Christ is about to return. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8 says, therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I arise up to the prey, for that my determination is to gather the nations, and that's the United Nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured in the fire of my jealousy. The Lord Jesus Christ is about to turn. I was telling Rose coming in, I said, you know, we're all going to be speaking Hebrew one day. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9, it says, for then will I turn to the people a pure language. We'll all be speaking Hebrew. So don't bother learning it. God's going to give you a crash course real quick. We're about to go home. We're about to get rid of this dead body that we're dragging around. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to be going through all this hell that's coming to this earth. And if you can't see it in Washington, if you can't see it around the world, you're blind. And let me tell you something. I've been watching Russia and China and all these exercises they're doing. They're serious about taking us out. They think we're all nuts. They think we've lost our minds. And Washington has. We've got some good people in there, but they can't do anything. They're fighting this woke. And if you ever learn anything about that, they want to take our military and turn it into 10% bisexual, 10% homosexual, 10% this, and 10% that, and 10% to where it won't have, it won't be a cohesive group of soldiers. They'll all be divided. And it should make you mad. It should make you angry. That here we came out of Europe seeking religious freedom, and they've taken our freedom away from us right now. They hate Christians. They hate you. Get that in your head. And I don't believe Trump's a friend. I don't believe anybody's our friend. I think the only friend we got is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the answer to everything that we got. And if you don't have him, you don't have an answer. 46:6. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were removed, and he uttered his voice, and the earth melted. And the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Meditate on Petra. It's all about the Jews surviving. And of course, when Jesus Christ comes back, and I love these verses, I think one of them will be at the beginning of the tribulation, one will be at the end. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Zechariah 13:6. And one shall say, what are these wounds in thine hand? Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. I have a real love for the Jewish people. It thrills me when I see a Jew born again. And I can't wait till they're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Psalm chapter 46, verse 8. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spears asunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the heathens. And I will be exalted in the earth. And the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. After all this, when the Lord Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom, everyone, all the nations, will have to pass under the rod. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you unto the bonds of the covenant. I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. And I will bring them forth out of the countries and sojourn. And I so shall not enter into the land. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. And he takes all the rebels and all the transgressors, and he brings them out. He lines them up on one side, the sheep, and one side, the goats, and the goats are cast into hell. And they'll be there for 1,000 years, burning and gnashing of teeth. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, and that will include the Antichrist and the false prophet, and they'll be in there for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, all those people that have ever been born will be brought up and judged. And then they'll be judged. They'll be given a good judgment, a righteous judgment, because the righteous God is going to judge them. And then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, where their torment goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, burning, gnashing of teeth, crying out, "Why did I not let go of that pew and come forward and get saved?" We've had 2,000 years of history of the gospel being preached to the nations. And for 2,000 years, men have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think that God, when he comes back, he's going to say, "Well, you're not that bad. You rejected my son, but we're going to let you in"? It ain't going to work like that. He's righteous, incorruptible. I love this chapter here, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, "Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, "For I will cause the return of the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord." But he's going to bring about righteous judgment. In Luke chapter, or you take Matthew chapter 25 and just read all those. Everything is dependent on how the nations treat the Jews. If they're good to the Jews and they didn't take the mark, they'll go into the kingdom. If they were wicked to the Jews and took the mark, you don't stand a chance in. And for all you people that are post and amillennial, Luke chapter 12, verse 36 says, "And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he shall return from the wedding." That wedding goes on as chaos is raining down on this earth for 7 years, and wrath is being poured out on this earth for 7 years. The church will be in heaven at a wedding. And all those little things that married people have to work out is going to be worked out. And then we're going to return with our Lord from the wedding. And our honeymoon is down here. And then this is our honeymoon. Psalm chapter 47, verse 1. "O clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is the great King over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance," talking to the Jews, "for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah." Verse 5. "God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Sing praise to God. Sing praise unto our God. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth." And he's not king yet. But during the millennial reign, he will be king, and that's what this verse, this chapter is all about, is being Christ being king of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Verse 8, God reigneth over the heathen. What does he mean, over the heathen? Isn't everybody going to be sinless in millennial reign? No. You have a glorified body. But there will be people that will be appropriating more people. And those people will be born with Adam's genes. So for 1,000 years, God's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And during the millennial reign, it's not going to be like, well, God's long-suffering, and he doesn't want anyone to perish. No, that's over with. During the millennial reign, God says, if you read Revelation chapter 10, verse 6, the last part of the verse, when he steps, puts his foot on the ground and puts his foot in the ocean and says, there should be time no more. What God is saying is that judgment comes like that. And there's not going to be any him hauling around and trying to decide whether the guy's guilty or not. God will know if you're guilty. And God will judge you immediately. And he'll purge out the sin immediately. And it'll be gone. And so will that person. God is not going to fool around in the millennial reign. Verse 9, the prince of the people are gathered. And verse, if you want another reference to that, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, he says, the people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do they honor me, but their hearts removed from me. There's like a lot of Christians today. They know how to act. They know how to talk. They know how to come in here and you think they're the greatest person in the world. In reality, they go out and live like the devil all week long. That's not going to happen. You're going to have the same situation in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. But like I said, when they sin, God will punish. There's a place over there in Israel that God's got picked out. It's going to be a big lake. And it's going to be burning, and you'll see dead bodies, corpses burning. And everybody that goes and worships it, the Lord God, is going to have to pass by that and see that. You'll find that in Isaiah chapter 66. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God, of Abraham, for the shield of the earth belongs unto God. He is greatly exalted. I believe this is in reference to the judgment. Now, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But when you get to the next verse in chapter 48, we're all of a sudden we're back in the city of God. Now look what it says here in verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, the city of our God, the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the great city of God, of the King. Wow, that's a transition. Now we're in heaven. And because of time, I'm not going to be able to go through my notes and stuff, but if you want a copy of this, just leave me your email address and I'll send them to you. And maybe someone will say, I don't want them. But there's a lot of work done and involved in all this stuff. You can ask my wife. Psalm chapter 48, verse 3 says, God is known in her palaces. I'm going to give you a little Greek lesson. And Hebrew lesson. Palace is Hebrew. Mansion is Greek. neither one of them are rooms, palaces and mansions, not rooms. You got it? You're way ahead of everyone else. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the Lord. Mount Zion, the size of the north. God is known in her palaces for refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. Who's these kings? The Bible says that when we're taken up into heaven and given our glorified body, he's going to make us priests and kings. These palaces he's talking about, that's where you're going to live if you're a born-again Christian. That's where you're going to go. Now look, we've got just a few minutes. Psalm chapter 48, verse 5 says, they saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold of them that were in pain as a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with the east wind. I looked at that and I thought, Lord, why'd you throw that right in the middle of this? We're in heaven. And now all of a sudden you're destroying the ships of Tarshish? And I did a word search on it. And, of course, if you know anything about Freemasonry, they believe that they follow Hiram Abiff, and he's going to build the temple, and he's going to do this. And Solomon made a contract with Hiram Abiff to cut stone up there in Lebanon and ship them down to Israel, and then they took those stones and built the temple, Solomon's temple. I think God is putting a little tidbit in here saying, you ain't going to build my temple. Hiram Abiff ain't got nothing to do with it. Solomon ain't got nothing to do with it. Just like I build my church, I'm going to build my temple, the New Jerusalem. And it's going to be magnificent. It's going to be beautiful. And I can give you the references for that. Psalm chapter 48, verse 8. And we have heard, so we have seen the city of the Lord of hosts. In the city of our God, God will establish it forever, Selah. Verse 9. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgment. Walk about Zion and go about her and tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well the bulwarks. Consider her palaces, my home, your home. Consider them, that ye may tell it to the generations following. God says, warn the following generation. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them about what God has in store for you who love him. I love this last. I put John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. And that mansion is going to be wonderful, beautiful. This, we don't start living until we're in heaven. I like this last verse. For this God is our God forever and ever. People are going to be burning in hell forever and ever. But you're going to be living forever and ever and ever. He shall be our guide even unto death. If you would fall down dead today, God would send angels to escort you into heaven. If you died without God right now, you would fall like a brick. Your spirit would go straight through this floor and go right into hell. And you'll be there forever until the judgment seat of Christ, or the white throne judgment, and then you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ today, you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't hesitate. We're running out of time. I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I know it's going to be awful soon. Things are just moving so quickly. And the world is more dangerous than it's ever been in its life. Let's pray. Our dearly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for that blessed hope that one day we'll spend eternity with you and worship you forever. Help us, Lord, to live our lives pleasing to thee. Bless the pastor as he preaches today and the song leader as he leads us singing. Lord, let it all be glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. For I ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be your name. Amen.